Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 55 of the Lesbian Book Club podcast with me, your host, Claire Lydon. This month we have an interview with another UK author, Claire Hyten Stevenson, and you're going to hear that fantastic interview I did very shortly. But first, let's see what's hot in the UK and US Amazon lesbian fiction charts, as well as finding out what's going on in the world of lesfic and what's going on in the world of me. First up, the Amazon charts. Topping the charts in the US, as I record this on November the 26th, is T.B. Markinson and Miranda McLeod with their book Holly and Ivy. This one is the story of Holly Lovelace and Ivy Winters. Let's just take a moment to salute those two character names, of which I've never seen many better. The story is about a social worker and a tech genius saving the world and falling in love. Plus, it's got a bit of Thanksgiving turkey thrown in, along with tinsel, fairy lights, Christmas and all the trimmings. It's even got a snow globe on the front. If they could have thrown any more tropes at it, I don't know what they'd be, but readers are loving it. So if that sounds like your bag, grab it now. Also, it's got mittens. Who doesn't love mittens? Also doing well is Melissa Therese's wintry hug of a book, Forever Yours. This one has also got mittens on the cover, just like T.B. and Miranda's book. So clearly I missed the memo and mittens are oddly a thing in festive lesbian romance this year. This one also has got a great first line of the blurb. Are you ready? It says, a second chance, age gap, winter romance. That will have you cheering them on, crying for them, while a whole lot of love settles in your heart. I mean, what's not to love about that? It tells you exactly what it is right off the bat, no messing around. This is the story of Paisley and Georgina. Again, strong names and good ones. I had a lovely Paisley shirt when I was 14. My mum made it for me. I still yearn for it. I still wish I kept it. But listener, I just threw it out. Because I don't keep things, so, you know, I regret that one. Anyway, back to the book. I read the blurb for Forever Yours, and there is a law firm, there's a buried past, there's a Christmas party, and there are heartstrings to be tugged. So if that is your bag, take off your mittens and press the buy button. Monica McCallum was on this podcast a few episodes ago, and her new autumnal book, Tapping Into Love, has an autumn leave on the cover and no mittens. She didn't get the memo, but she did get the autumn leave memo, so well done, Monica. This one is about Sienna Westmore, again, strong name, who blows back into town after her father's death. Her family aren't liked around this small town, not in these parts, love. That's my catch-all weird accent. Especially by Lucy Parsons, who I'm guessing Sienna has a history with. But Sienna is going to set out to prove that a Westmore can be good. It's a small town, the leaves are swirling, and enemies are about to become lovers, or I'm going to eat my hat. A.E. Radley's Keep Holly Close is the follow-up to Bring Holly Home. She's got no mittens on her cover, just in fact the same cover as last time, but with two words changed. Now, I like that, a low-key cover then. Maybe I could do that, it would definitely save on cover costs. Holly and Victoria are home, phew, and are nesting with their kids, but then an email threatens to blow up their world. There's Amnesia too, which is obviously always a romance winner. Finally in the UK, Gretchen Evans has a lesbian historical romance called How to Talk Nice to English Girls, and it's got a particularly lovely historical feeling cover. This one is about Marion Fielding, whose world is about to be rocked when American Catherine Fuller rolls into the English countryside for the wedding of Marion's sister. They are instantly attracted, but can two women from different worlds get together despite all the odds? Because, you know, it is early on in the century. So apparently this one is steamy, so expect corset popping aplenty atop hay bales, I assume, because it's in the country. So that's the roundup for November 2019. We're nearly at the end of the year. How in the heckity thump did that happen? I have no idea, frankly. I don't know. Last time I looked, it was August, and then I blinked and turned my head, and it was November. There you go. As they say, as you get older, the years just, you know, go on to fast forward, and it's true. What can I say? What have I been up to since I last spoke to you in October? Well, November has been a very busy month for me. In the beginning, my wife and I went to Hong Kong for 10 days, which was a lovely family time, even though the political situation there is definitely putting strain on the city, which was absolutely heartbreaking to see, actually, because Hong Kong, I've been a few times. It's a really vibrant city. It's buzzing, it's jumping, the food's great. It's got real energy about it. But it was a little bit heartbreaking to see it on under curfew, the tube stopping at 9, 10 o'clock at night. But hopefully the situation will resolve, but who knows? But I'm gonna keep an eye on the situation. But being there definitely made me think I should set a book here because the city is just so fantastic. But maybe I should write a short story based there first, just to get that vibe out of my system while it's still in my system. I think that could be a good one. I might have just thought of that right now. But since I've been got back, I've been working on my new book, which should be out in Q1 of next year. I haven't got a title yet, although I'm getting closer, but it's the story is coming to life beneath my fingertips, and that's always an exciting moment, and so I'm excited to get it out to you. This one has a bride who's not going to marry her groom. No, she's not. Shock, horror, because her head's going to be turned by her bridesmaid. I know, scandal. So I'm loving writing this one because there's all the feels and all the angst. But I'm hoping to get that. What? I booked my editor for the second week of January, so I will have to get that one done. It's the last week in November now, so no biggie. I've just got to get the second draft done over Christmas. What else will I be doing over Christmas? Nothing. I'm also a little bit annoyed with myself, I have to say, because I love Christmas. I love the run-up to Christmas, and I love reading Christmas books, and I love writing them too. But I realised this year that I haven't written a Christmas novel for 4 years, and that's a really long time. But it hasn't occurred to me that I should do it. Like, my last Christmas book that I released was in 2015, All I Want for Christmas, and it went down really well, and it still sells to this day. And every year it has a little flurry of sales, and around this time of year, I should have written another one, shouldn't I? I should write one every year. I'm going to put it on my calendar now. So, Christmas book. I'm going to do that in January. I've booked a house in Whitstable to go away for a writing retreat, and I'm going to crack on with my Christmas book for 2020. I'm going to be so ahead of the game next year. It's going to be unbelievable. Also, coming up, my next audiobook of Made in London, book 6 in the London Romance series, is being recorded the first week in December. So I'm hoping to have that out, proofed and out in January. So that'll be great. And as well as all that, in November, I've been busy launching my new website. I hadn't updated my new website for 4 years, so it was about due a refresh. Go and have a look. It's at www.clairelydon.co.uk. My brief for it was just to have it be simple, easy to navigate, quick to load, and just, easy for people to get to know more about me, my books, and my podcast, which are the three things that you hopefully do want to know about. And also easy for them to join my mailing list and get a free Christmas novella. So if you haven't done that, do head over to my website, clairelydon.co.uk, and sign up. And do let me know what you think. I hope you love it as much as me. I will be back for a final podcast in December, where I'll be talking about my favourite Christmas books and doing a little roundup of those. And then we'll swing into the new year with a whole host of new guests. I've got new impetus for the podcast, so I hope you have too. Okay, well, let's get on with the interview with Claire Hyten Stevenson. She is fantastic and super chatty, and I love talking to her. Joining me today is UK author Claire Hyten Stevenson, whose latest novel, In Dire Need, is an end-of-the-world romance that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Claire has written pure romance and detective stories too, and her novel The Promise won a Goldie Award this year. She lives in the south of England, is a big Liverpool fan, and enjoys travel, photography and movies. Welcome, Claire. How are you today?
Thank you. Hi. Yes, I'm good. I'm awake and I'm with us.
Well, that's all I can ask. If you're asleep, it'd be really bad. Bad start. So tell me a little bit about where you are today. What can you see from where you're sitting?
Not very much, actually, because I've put up that kind of, I don't know what it is, but you put it on the windows and it kind of makes them so they're opaque. You can't really see through them, but you don't have to have curtains up.
All right, yeah.
So I'm looking out to the front of my house, if I could see through the windows. But mainly I've just got all my tat around me. I like to be surrounded by stuff.
Okay.
So I've got within easy reach, my printer, and I've got photographs and just things that I like to look at.
Okay.
Vases of flowers that my wife brings in every now and then.
Have you got a favourite bit of tat?
Do you know what? At the moment, I've got a lovely butterfly that sits on my window, and it's quite big. And I've got a thing about butterflies. I don't know. I've no idea where it comes from or why. Most of my tattoos have got butterflies included in them. So somebody once told me that butterflies are all to do with people that have passed over, visiting and stuff. A little bit like what they say about robins and stuff like that. So I'm happy with that. I'll go with that. Okay. I like to surround myself with butterflies.
Okay, good. So tell me a little bit about your writing journey, Claire, and how you got started.
To be honest, I think it was pretty much by accident. I'm not one of these people that, you know, you listen to people and they go, oh, I've been writing since I was two, and I've got diaries, and I've got all these stories. I won awards for as a child. And stuff. Mm-hmm. That wasn't me. Mm-hmm. Never. I've always liked reading, and I've always watch TV and things like that. I like the stuff that's kind of made up, but it's never been in my mind to make anything up and to write anything down. And then I don't know. I think in my last job, I was kind of driving around a lot on my own. And after a while, the radio gets quite boring. It's the same songs over and over. I switched it off. And I think it just clicked. My brain just went into a sort of overdrive. And what would I do if this happened? What would I do if that happened? And these suddenly became characters that when I then broke my leg and I had 6 months of doing nothing, I just started to kind of write them down. And eventually I had this story. And my friend Michelle Arnold, who's an author in America, she was like, let me read this. And I was like, no, I'm not letting anyone read this. It's going to be rubbish. But in the end, I succumbed and let her read it. And she was like, no, actually, it's all right. Needs a bit of tidying up, but, you know, I'll help you with that. So she did. So she's kind of become my editor. Mm-hmm. And she's my little grammar police, smacks me when I get it wrong, which is quite often. But yeah, that was how I slipped into it, really.
Okay.
I've been here ever since.
So she's your writing angel. What kind of books does she write?
She's similar to mine. She writes a lot of romance. She's got a detective story as well that she writes. And we have Rizzoli and Isles fanfic in common as well. So we both write that when we're thinking of nothing else to write.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So how would you describe your books to someone who's never read one?
Eclectic. Probably. They're very kind of, I don't know. I think because when I got into this, I just did it literally, like I say, by accident. So I had no idea about genres. I had no idea about any kind of rules that you're supposed to stick to. I just wrote whatever I wanted to write. And so some of my stories all involve romance. They are definitely romance-based. But I like to move them around and put them. So I'll do end-of-the-world type book one time, and then it'll be a detective novel, or then it's a fluffy lives by the sea romance. I just take them all over the place. I think I just like to try everything and see where I land. But yeah, it's very eclectic.
Okay. Do you think you're going to keep that up as time goes on?
I'm not sure. I really just like writing romance. I love that aspect of it, of two people falling in love and finding a way to get them together. Mm-hmm. But I also don't want to become one of those writers that just sort of writes the same story over and over, but with different character names and a different location. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think there'll always be something a little bit different in my books, probably. But generally, they will tend to head towards that romantic arc.
Okay. Your latest book, In Dire Need, was the first one I've read of yours, and I really enjoyed it. And like you said, it's kind of a thrillerish sort of end of the world with a heavy dollop of romance thrown in. And the opening chapter sees the world thrown into chaos with a terror attack in the country in the grip of like a zombie-like takeover. So tell me about coming up with this apocalyptic plotline. Is that influenced by your love of movies? Do you like those sort of movies as well?
I love those movies. In fact, like, the worse they are, the better. You know, those really bad ones where you can see the set move. I just love them. They're so bad, they're good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, the thing is, within Dire Need, it's a two-parter. So the second part, I think, is going to kind of, it's got a huge plot twist. So I don't know that those that have read it will be expecting what's coming up. I hope not, because otherwise that'd be kind of a bit boring. But yeah, it is an end of the world book in the sense of the first half, but the second half might be a little bit different. But I love those kind of movies and books, and I'm a little bit of a secret prepper. I've got a pantry stocked. I am ready for the zombies.
What's in your pantry? I'm intrigued.
Well, there's everything, anything that's kind of useful. So things like lots of tins of tomatoes, because then, you know, you can make anything with a tin of tomatoes. We've got, you know, bags of pasta, all your kind of spices, bottles of water, just anything, toilet rolls. We're always properly stocked on the essentials.
So this,
I'm always like, you know, it could all go wrong next week. We need to have a plan. So, yeah, I'm a little bit of a secret prepper.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting. Do you have a bunker as well?
Not quite, but I would love one.
Yeah.
I really would.
I'm picking that
if I
up.
Could get away with it, I would. But, yeah, I don't think my wife's had it.
Okay.
She spent a lot of time in that garden. Me going in and digging it up to stick a bunker in, I'm not sure.
So if the end of the world happens, everyone round Claire's for some tomato pasta.
We're all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you're going to live on.
So you've got some really strong characters in your books, and this one is no exception. So tell me a little bit about the process of coming up with your characters and developing them into fully formed women that really do jump off the page, as was the case in this one.
Yeah, I think they kind of just happen. I think I'm quite lucky in that I've always been surrounded by those kind of women. You know, my mum and my gran, very strong characters, very independent, stubborn sometimes. You know, they knew their own minds. And so even now as well with all my friends, I've got most of my friends, my best friends, they're both kind of, well, they're so different, but they're both very strong characters, very clear in what their beliefs and their morals and the way they live. So I've kind of got lots of that around me, and I think I'm that kind of person too. I'm kind of whatever you throw at me, I'll deal with it. And so I think they're just the easiest characters for me to write. Right, I struggle sometimes with the vulnerable characters. They're the ones I have to kind of really research and go and have a read up a few pamphlets and things about people with, you know, not quite as what's the word, kind of, see, I've got menopausal brain, my brain goes dead sometimes. those kind of people that struggle a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. they're the people I will struggle with writing, just because I don't struggle with things, I just get on with it.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, you should watch some bit of Brené Brown on YouTube. She's got a lot of stuff on.
Yes, I have. Someone else has suggested her to me, so I think I've read a few little bits and pieces of hers.
Mm.
She sounds very.
She is. She's like a modern day superstar, I think. And in this book, even though we've got the world crumbling around us, love really does conquer all. Like you said, there's always romance in your books. And even with the end of the world on the horizon, your lead characters, Ren and Andy, find time to fall in love and also get it on quite a lot. So at first, the love scenes are a bit frantic. Then in the end, they're quite sensual. So writing love scenes, obviously, is always a big question for romance authors. They are essential, I think, to a romance book. They're basically the action scenes of a romance book, although you've got a lot of other action scenes in this book as well. But do you have a lot of top tips for making the love scenes lit?
I think you just have to forget that all your friends are going to read it. if that's sitting in your head, then, you know, I know when I first started writing, that was the biggest thing. The biggest fear was like, oh, my God, people are going to read this. They're going to think this is me. They're going to think this is what I do. And clearly I'm not doing half the things that my characters get up to. But it's quite fun to put them in that situation. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm getting more confident with it. I don't know. And it's a real struggle as well between what the reader wants, because some readers really, really want that kind of erotic aspect to it. And others are quite, you know, they're more like, oh, I just get those pages. So trying to find the right balance as well, I find that's the most difficult part, is where does the language cut off from being romantic to being, you know, just that little bit too erotic for some people. I mean, my friend's 89-year-old mum reads these books, so I have that in the back of my head. And I do get told off quite often for a lot of the swearing and certain pages that she flicks through. But, you know, I've got other friends who read it and they're like, why isn't there more sex in this book?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So, yeah, I don't know that you can win. And I think you just have to go with what you feel is comfortable. And, like, I know in this book, I think for me, their initial interactions are, like you say, they're frantic. But wouldn't they be if you think your world is ending? I don't know. I don't know that we'd all be sitting there waiting for flowers and romance. You just think, sod it. But as it progresses, then we get to find the romance between them, which I think is a little bit more natural.
I thought you did it very well, actually, and you're right. If the world was ending, I think we'd all try and have a last bit of sex, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. Go for it.
And yeah, I know what you mean with the romance scenes. I still think I've got friends who think, you know, this is me in every scene I write. But, you know, there you go. Some people are always going to think that. You just got to put it out of your mind.
I'm just glad that my friends think I'm that exciting.
I know. I take it as a compliment.
Because half the time I'm in the bath or just, you know, it's like, you know, I'm knackered and I'm going to bed now. It's good. It's good to have an image.
It is. Very good. And so you said the second book is going to be a bit of a plot twist, a bit of an about turn. So I'm not going to ask you to reveal it, obviously, but how far along are you in that? Is that the next one for you?
Yeah, it's done. It's written. It is now being edited. So I'm hoping for the new year that will be out. And that should coincide with the first one coming out on audiobook as well, so fingers crossed.
All right.
Exciting. It will be interesting to see what everyone thinks.
Yeah, definitely. Exciting times and very busy times for you, clearly. So as well as, obviously, as you said, you're a genre-hopping author, so you wrote a very emotional story in The Promise that I think really connected with readers, and it's about a couple who have it all, then one gets a terminal cancer diagnosis and she makes her partner promise she will love again. Now this one, it sounds like a movie that I would tear up at immediately. So it sounds like and it won a Goldie award, which is the Lesbian Book Oscars, which is amazing. So tell me about writing that one and why you think it connected with readers so much.
I think there's a lot of subjects out there that we all have some connection to, you know. I don't think there's anyone on this planet who doesn't know somebody who's had cancer, died from cancer, lost their partner to cancer. So we've all got that story. It's all there. But I don't think very many people want to write about it. And I don't think many people want to actually read about it. But for me, it was kind of based on my mum and dad's story. My dad was 49 when he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Mm-hmm. And within 6 months, he was gone. And my mum never really got over that. And I kind of sat back and sort of thought, I wonder, you know, what if she had been able to, if she had, you know, had that conversation with my dad and moved forward. And so that's where the characters kind of came from. And I didn't want to have the sad ending that my mum and dad had. So I wanted to have that sort of, world doesn't have to end kind of thing, that when something tragic happens, it doesn't diminish what you had in that first relationship. because you've had, you know, you've now moved on to another one. So yeah, I think that a lot of people, I know when I've had emails from people, that it generally from people that have been through it and have gone, oh my God, you just wrote my story. That's great. It's not actually my biggest selling book, which I can understand. A lot of people don't want to cry when they read a book. I should get a deal with Kleenex. Right? But those who've read it, yeah, they find there's a comfort in it and it hits a mark for them. So
yeah, and I was going
and a couple of women have actually gone and had their breasts checked and found that, you know, there was something to be looked at. So if it's helping a few people, that's brilliant.
Definitely. And I was just going to say, when you were talking about that you said that you weren't very good at writing vulnerable characters, but that sounds like you were tapping into your own experience and that was a hugely vulnerable character. So you might be selling yourself short.
Maybe. I think we all do, don't we? So I'll try harder to boost my own ability and vulnerability.
Yeah. talking of other things that you've done, so you write in many different genres, but you also host a podcast called We Should Be Writing, which you do with A.E. Radley and Emma Sterner Radley, two other well-known lesbian fiction authors. So, and when I saw that, I thought, hurrah for more lesbian fiction podcasts. So tell us about doing that, and are you enjoying it?
I love it. I don't know if they do. it's just fun. I think every time we meet up, we have such a laugh. And we were like, we should just record this. This would be funny. And so we did. And we thought we'll give it a go and we'll see if anyone actually watches. And if they don't, then we'll kind of, you know, don't worry about it. We've got a few people watching. So, you know, it's hopefully growing. And we wanted to just do something a little bit different as well, because, you know, there are a few your own podcasts and things out there, you know, that talk about books and stuff like that. So we kind of thought, well, let's just do something different and, you know, talk about what we should have been, what we're doing when we should be doing what everybody else thinks we're doing. It's a lot of fun.
Is it a weekly podcast, or how often do you do it?
We kind of have no set time for it. It's just whenever we can fit one in, we can, you know, we'll record something. Or if we've been somewhere or done something like the Western thing, we'll try and do something for that. So if we get more readers, what is it, not readers, watchers, listeners, then yeah, it might become a more organised event. Right. But at the moment we're just plodding along and enjoying what we're doing.
Right. Okay, which is always the best way to start. And you mentioned there, the Western thing. So for people who don't know what you're talking about, there was just a lesfic event in Western-Supermare. I can't remember. What was it called exactly?
Western Super Lesfic.
There you go. I see what they did there. Very good. This is the second one of these the third one of these that's taken place. So first of all, we had Elcon, which was in Bristol. I think a couple of years ago. And then you too organised one that is going to be a yearly event. Is that right?
Yes. We did the South Coast Lesfic Hangout, which is in Crawley. Mm-hmm. I originally went to the Elcon one with no expectations of what one of these conventions meetups was about. What I came away with was that everyone loved it, but it just cost a lot of money. So I kind of chatted with a few author friends and was like, what if we did this and we sucked up the cost, you know, and because we can do it at a reasonable cost, it doesn't have to be expensive. We can all kind of chip in and create an event that's free for readers, which means we get more people attend and we get more people come down and find out what we're all about and hopefully sell a few more books, which is always great. So that's how it came about. And I thought, well, seeing as I'm the gob that started all this, I better be the one that does it. So I kind of hired a hall here in Crawley, because it's quite handy, Crawley. It's right next to Gatwick. We actually had people flying in. So we had people from Finland, which is quite good, Germany. So it's a real good hub for transport accommodation that's reasonably cheap. I mean, I think you can book the travel lodge for like 30 quid. So, and it's all in walking distance as well. And we have a gay bar. not many places do anymore, but we do. We have a gay bar. A lot of people turned up on the Friday night, came out on a meet and greet in Bar 7, and we had a bit of a laugh there, and then it was all hands to the pump next morning, getting the event up and running, and just had such a good time. And Jen Matthews went away, and she decided she was going to do one in her area, which is Weston-super-Mare. So, yeah, it was brilliant. She did a great job. She got a lot of people to turn up. And, yeah, we're hoping now that somebody might want to do one maybe up north or a bit further to the east, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that would be good.
Yeah.
If we can get, you know, one sort of every part of the country, we could do one every sort of 3 or 4 months. That would be really good, I think. So,
yeah.
Who knows? Who knows where it will go?
Yeah, no, I think it's great that these things are starting off. And like you say, if they become a yearly event, then people will expect them to happen and then they'll start, you know, arranging their travel around it and come along. So like you said, there were quite a few readers came along to your one and to Weston-super-Mare. So if you fancy coming along to the South Coast Lesfic Hangout in 2020, when is that going to be, Claire?
It's going to be the 2nd of May. And it will start from about 10 o'clock in the morning till 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I would suggest people get hold of the website and keep a lookout, because we do have a lot of stuff coming on. I'm not going to announce everything yet, but we do have some really exciting special guests turning up.
Okay, very exciting. So, okay, I don't know who's turning up, so I'm excited. So 2nd of May, let's get into that. Just before I go into the questions about your process, I know that you're a big Liverpool fan. We've had football chat before on social media. Let's not talk about Tottenham, because I'm still in mourning from Mauricio Pochettino leaving. Have you ever thought about writing a football book? Because it's something I've toyed with.
Yeah, I've kind of thought about it, but then I don't know. I used to play football as well, so I should be able to come up with something. Back in the day when Millwall Lionesses were all there was. Maybe. Why not?
Yeah. It's coming more and more into my mind of late, because I you know, now obviously the WSL here is pretty big now, and I was just watching the highlight show last night, and I was thinking, oh, it would make a good one. But and I too used to play football, so who knows, maybe one day.
Especially in America, I think it's huge as well, isn't it? I mean, we've got Megan now, so everybody loves Megan.
Yeah. Let's talk about your process, Claire. So are you a full-time writer?
Yes. Luckily enough, my wife has decided that I can stay at home and try this for a living. So, yeah, I am. I had to give up my last job, because when I broke my leg, it just became impossible to drive for 12, 14 hours a day. So that was, you know, that had to stop. And so then, yeah, my wife was lovely enough to just say, look, just give it a go.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Yeah. And it's working. Yeah. And do you have a process? Do you have a daily routine that you follow?
Oh, God, no. You know, I'm a Virgo. I'm supposed to be the most organized person on the planet. And I think I was born in the wrong month. I am not organized at all. I have so many things going through my brain. So I'm just like, oh, I must do that. Oh, I must do this. And I've got, you know, 20 pages open on the computer, and I've got paperwork all over my desk. And I'm like, oh, damn, I didn't pay that. Oh, what am I doing? Oh, and then, I better write something. And then I just, you know, 20,000 words later or something. And I'm like, oh, did I do what I was supposed to do the other day? Oh, I don't know. So, yeah, I am totally disorganised, but in an organised chaos way. I get it done eventually.
Yeah. It's there in the mess on the desk.
Exactly. It's all there and it'll all get done, and things get paid on time. So that's generally the most important thing for me. Don't forget a bill. So as long as that's done, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm not so much with the housework.
No. It'll still be there. Do you have like a favourite thing that's, you know, sort of arisen out of this new career that you've gone into, and the least favourite?
I think my favourite part is that, you know, that initial part when the ideas come to you and you just can't stop writing. And you're just like, da, 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 and it's all flowing out, and you've suddenly got these characters and you're like, oh, I love them. That's my favourite bit. My least favourite is blurbs.
Mm-hmm.
Having to condense 50 to 70,000 words down into two or three paragraphs that tell everybody how exciting this book is without telling them really anything too much, because you can't give it away if there's a twist or, you know, anything like that. That is the hardest part of it for me. So, yeah, I struggle sometimes with that bit. It takes probably as long to write a blurb as it did to write the book. I'd be sitting there going, I don't want to write this. I don't want to write this because I'm going to have to write a blurb.
Yeah.
But I'm quite lucky. I've got a little team of readers who work with me, and I just throw everything at them and I'm like, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And they'll go, yeah, rubbish. Come back with something else. And a couple of them will go, actually, if you just take this word out, change this up and blah, blah, blah. And suddenly I've got a blurb and I'm like, oh, that works. Brilliant. Fab. Mm. So that's quite helpful.
And is there a best piece of writing advice you've been given?
The best piece of advice is to basically decide what you're writing and then go for it. If you're writing for just a hobby and you're not really bothered about whether or not you make a living, then you can pretty much write anything you like and not have to worry about it. But if you do want to make a living, then you've got to kind of treat it like a business, treat it like a job. That for me, once I'd kind of got that in the idea that actually this is a job, mm-hmm. and I have to sit down in my office and work, can't just go for brunch with Chris whenever I fancy it. That was kind of the best advice, is just if it's a job, sit down and treat it like it.
And if you could be the love child of any two writers, alive or dead, Claire, who would you choose and why?
God, there's so many. I really, really love everything by Stuart McBride. I think his crime writing series is just brilliant. It's scary and funny and everything that comes with it. And the same with Patricia Cornwell. I like her, the way she writes her books. So I would go with them. But then I think I might need a kind of, you know, grandfatherly Roald Dahl chucked in there somewhere.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm a big Fantastic Mr. Fox lover.
Okay.
I love Roald Dahl. So yeah, I think, yeah, maybe he could be like a wiser old grandfather or a stepdad. I don't know. But that would be my, yeah, why not? There's not much romance in there, though, is there? So that's weird.
There isn't, you see. I was thinking that as you were saying it. I thought both good choices. I haven't read Stuart McBride. Obviously, I know Patricia Cornwell and Roald Dahl, but interesting that there wasn't. But I like that you chose a whole, you know, a family. I mean, given a while.
A whole family. Yeah, you could be here for days.
have a couple of aunties, cousins. Cousins, yeah. So up next for you is what's the sequel to In Dire Need going to be called?
In Dire Consequences.
Okay.
But before that, I've got coming up next month is Grave Decisions, which is the next in my Detective Witten series. So that follows on from The Dollmaker. So hopefully people that read The Dollmaker might be interested. Who knows?
A busy couple of months with quite a few books coming out for you then. So tell listeners where they can find out more about you, Claire.
Well, I'm pretty much everywhere on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, not there very often, but I am around. Instagram, I've got my website, I've got my mailing list. You can catch up with me anywhere, really.
What's your website address?
My website is it's Claire Steff, but it's kind of a bit spelled different. So it's ITSCLASTEV official. And that's basically my name for everything.
Okay.
If you type that in somewhere, you'll get everything.
And we will obviously put that in the show notes as well. So thank you so much for being here today, Claire. It's been fantastic to chat with you.
Thank you. It's been really, really nice.
That's the end of this Lesbian Book Club. So this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. If you'd like to know more about me and any of my books, just head on over to my website at www.clairelydon.co.uk, and you can find out all about my books, my podcasts, my audiobooks, and even sign up for my VIP Readers Club and grab yourself a very free lesbian romance novella. Hooray! And it's a Christmas one, so it's the time to do it. Thanks so much to Denise for producing and hosting this podcast. It's much appreciated. If you want to get in contact with me on the socials, I'm on Instagram at ClaireFic, on Twitter at Claire Lydon, on Facebook, Claire.Lydon. Come on down, follow me there, have a chat. I'm around and I'm super friendly. Join me next time when I'll be rounding up the Christmas books that I love this year and the years gone by, and filling you in on what's hot in the lesbian fiction charts and the world of me. See you in December.